you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
And take it away.
Thank you. The introduction was great. What I really want you to know is that I'm very passionate about the topics of organizing and productivity, and that's really what I bring here today. We're going to talk about organize to optimize, what I've learned along the journey of having a business that helps people get and stay organized is that it does make a difference in people's lives. And it makes a difference in their lives at home, and in their ability to spend time on what matters most to them, and on their ability to generate revenue and to be successful in the work that they choose to do as well. So that's why we're here, because I love this topic. And what I want to do today, especially with a smaller group, is to make this as interactive as you'd like it to be. So I hope that you came knowing about the topic and maybe had a question or a situation, and we'll feel open enough to share that so that we can send you home with some solutions today and send you back to your offices so that you can make a difference in the way that you work. Fair enough? Okay. You've got a handout with some interesting statistics, and let's start there because I think they tell a story. The cost of disorganization in the world and in work today, it says organized to optimize at the top. Disorganization costs businesses valuable time and money. We know that. The statistic is that on average, an American worker wastes about an hour a day looking for things they know they have but can't find. And that's true in our homes as well. So we're looking for things we know we have, but we can't find them. And the cost to reproduce or recreate documents that we've lost is expensive as well. And you can see that there too. So if we think about how that adds up, it's about 12 weeks a year. So what would you do with an extra 12 weeks a year? Make more money, maybe? Spend more time with your family on hobbies? I can think of a lot of things I'd do with an extra 12 weeks a year. Some other statistics. Almost 2 trillion pieces of paper are generated yearly in American offices. It's a lot of paper. Paper has tripled since the birth of the computer. So much for the paperless office. I know I used to work for Bank of America, and we had some campaigns to try and go as paperless as possible at various points in my career, and it's challenging. You know, Barb and I were talking about printing emails, and I think that's part of why we have so much more paper now, is because we communicate a lot through email, and we still are printing a lot of email as well, so we have more paper now than ever. The documents that were used in creating the Boeing 747, true or false, weigh more than the airplane itself.
True.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? So again, if we think about that volume of paper, we all handle it. We all have to deal with it. So paper, and then of course we have voicemail and email and things we think of to do and things other people ask us to do. It's all coming in at a really rapid pace. So we're gonna talk about some systems that help us deal with all that incoming stuff. But that's how disorganization happens, is because the flood that's coming in is often greater than we have time or take time to deal with. Okay. One more statistic. The average employee today has 37 hours of unfinished work on his or her desk at any one time. So I want you to think about your desk, and it might not be, remember that's an average, so some more, some less. But think about your desk and how many things have been started but are not finished and are waiting for you to get back today. It might not be 37 hours worth, but I don't know the state of your desk. I'll let you reflect on that a little bit. So we can see that clearly disorganization and some of these statistics, that the cost that they have. And what's the benefit to getting organized? Have you had a time that you have felt organized and as productive as you want to be? Again, thinking about what would you do with more time? Any ideas? What would you like to do with more time, Debbie?
Well, it'd be nice to be able to just sit and relax.
Okay, so some time to yourself.
Right.
Yeah, how about you, Barb?
Probably find some more things in my storage room at the office that I'm worried about, and I also have a storage room in the home. I just love to go through some of the mother's things and get them in the right boxes, put get years of photos organized.
Okay, so you take more time to organize some of the memorabilia and some of the things that, you know, those are important pieces of your story and your family's story. And what organizing those types of things mean to you or to your family is that, again, you can share that story. When they're not organized, it's harder to share them with others. Yeah. How about you, Bill? What would you do?
Catch up on the 36 hours. Of
the other 36 hours of work.
Yes.
All right. Jeff? <Yes. laughs> What would you do with more time, Jeff?
Well, I would spend more time on some hobbies and then develop some new ideas for the business.
Uh-huh. Okay. Good. So that forward thinking and just, again, time for you and things that you like to do. All right, so there's this cost of disorganization. What do we do about it? Okay. I have some ideas. That's the good news. So you'll see on your outline there's really three different things that we can think about. And the first one is organizing your space. Okay, when your workspace, or if you're talking about a residential space, is organized, that allows you to find what you need when you need it. And that allows you to save time and money and stress. Have you ever bought something that you know you have somewhere but you can't find it and you have to have it, so you go out and buy another one?
Yes.
Okay, so we're wasting money that way. And then we've talked about wasting time. And what about the stress of not being able to put your hands on what you need? Or the stress of feeling like you have a client that might fall through the cracks because of disorganization? So time, money, stress, these are all things that we can make better when we think about organizing our space. So the first step when we organize a space is to clear clutter. What's clutter? What does that mean to you?
Things that you want to save, but they're not in the right home.
Okay, so it could be things that aren't in the right place. Things that you want to save, but they're not in the right place. What else? What else is clutter?
Things that shouldn't be there at all.
Okay.
Perhaps are ready to be discarded or unnecessary.
Okay, so things that are unnecessary that you could let go of. Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on clutter?
I have trouble with paper.
Okay.
I save things that I think I'm going to use that I never use.
Oh.
I need to use it.
Mm-hmm. That's the I might need it someday syndrome. We all have that.
Yeah.
It's hard to know. What's interesting about paper clutter in particular is even the stuff that we do file away that make it to our files, we're only going to retrieve 10 to 20% of what we file. It's hard to know what 10 to 20% though, otherwise we could get rid of a lot more paper. So clutter, I'm going to define it as anything that's not adding value to your life or to your business right now. It's things that you don't need, don't want, or don't use. And these things, this clutter, this is getting in your way of finding what you need when you need it. Okay? Or focusing on the work you need or want to do. Okay, so clutter can get in our way and it can distract us. So clearing clutter, I want you to ask some questions as you're looking at your desk or your workspace. If you can ask yourself, when is the last time I use this? Do I need it? Does it exist someplace else? Okay, so again, a printed document. Is this the only copy? Or do I have it on my computer as well, and will it be housed there? Does somebody else have a copy? Could I get it easily? Is it outdated? So again, paper, sometimes we print, and we think we might need it someday, but if it's a source from the internet, that someday, if it's 6 months from now, there might be a more updated version anyway. Okay, so those are some questions to ask. Do I need it? Do I use it? Do I love it? Does it make me happy? And most importantly, is it adding value to my life or my business today? And I say today because some things added value to our lives or our businesses in our past, but are no longer serving us well now. Okay, so those are some things we can let go of. Sentimental items don't fall in that category if we're selective. Okay, so sentimental items, if we're choosy about what's going to represent our past or our history or our stories, they're fine to keep in perpetuity and then pass on. But if we're not selective about those items, then we have another disorganized mess and we're not able to share those stories either. Okay. All right, so once we've cleared the clutter and we can organize what's left, we need to apply some basic principles of organizing. And one of those is keeping like items together. Another one is keeping things close to where they're used. So as you're setting up your desk or thinking about how to organize the things on or around your desk, think about your workflow and the way that you work. Is there a place for work to come in? Okay, do you have an inbox or a corner of the desk or a file where work is coming in until you have time to process it? Is there a place to do your work? Is there a clear space that you can work? Where is your phone? Are you right-handed or left-handed? Do you have a message pad by your phone to take notes? Where do you keep files or papers that you need to act on? Okay, again, if that's in a drawer or a tiered file holder, we'll talk about some solutions there. If you're right-handed, on your right-hand side is going to make more sense. Your phone, by the way, if you are right-handed, phone on the left makes more sense. Do you know why? Think about how you hold the phone. Which hand do you hold the phone with if you're right-handed?
Left.
Left, because you are going to write with your right hand. So the phone on the left, so that you're not always crossing over your body to reach it. It's just more ergonomically efficient, but it's also time efficient. So you can write with your right hand. So think about, again, how you work, keeping like items together, keeping things close to where they're used, keeping the things that you use most often the easiest to get to. Okay, I'm going to say that one more time because I think it's important. Keeping the things that you use most often the easiest to get to. So things that you use every day, all the time, during the day, could be on the desk. Things that you refer to once a month or seasonally, farther away. Right? Does that make sense? If you have marketing material and you are using that every single day, then close by. Again, if it's for a promotion that's a holiday promotion, farther away. The last principle is having a place for everything. And I'm sure you've heard that before, everything in its place. Barb and I were also talking about some habits that we'll talk about as well. So not only are these principles important, but the habits to support them are more important. So having a home for everything is great. Putting things back when you're done with them is the habit that means you're going to find that item when you need it next. Okay, so we'll talk about habits as well. Okay, systems. So we've cleared clutter, we've thought about how we're going to keep things and where we're going to keep things. Systems to keep that up and systems to allow you to function. I'm going to do an exercise for a minute. Okay, there's a lot of numbers on this sheet. I'm going to give you 20 seconds, and I'd like you to circle the numbers in numerical order, starting with 1. Okay? So go ahead and begin. And stop. Okay. I'm going to have you turn that paper over. I'm going to give you another one. Okay. This time I'm going to tell you about a system to help you find the numbers. Picture this paper in quadrants. You're going to find the first number in the upper left-hand quadrant. The second number in the quadrant next to it, the third number in the bottom left-hand quadrant, and the fourth number in the bottom right-hand quadrant. And then you're going to go back to the first quadrant we talked about. Okay? So I want you to use that system when you're looking for numbers based on quadrants. And again, I'm going to give you the same time, 20 seconds. Go ahead and begin. and stop. How'd you do? Double? Great. Did everybody see an improvement? Okay, so the point is that when we have a system to rely on and when we know what that system is, it makes it easier in this case to find numbers. If you have a reliable filing system in your office, how much faster is it to find the paper you need when you need it instead of not having a system? Okay, so again, a fairly simple illustration of the value of systems. So let's talk about what kinds of systems we want to think about. All right, desktop or near desk action system. We need a system for dealing with all the paper and the things that we need to act on, the things that you need to do. That can be a tiered file holder. I'm just going to throw out a few examples here that has categories of action on there: to call, to read, to write. Okay, those types of categories. It could be a drawer to your right-hand side if you're right-handed. That's your control point drawer, where you have similar files either by category or by date you intend to act on them. Tickler system, has anyone used that before? Okay, if I have a piece of paper and I'm going to act on it on the 15th, I put it in the file that says 15. So I have 1 through 31, and I have January through December. By keeping my paper that way, then on a certain day, I know what I need to do on that day, and I'm not distracted by everything I don't need to do that day. Okay, when we have all the work in front of us, the 37 hours of unfinished work at any one time, the things that we need to do right now possibly are buried underneath the things that we don't need to do right now. So this is a way of separating and eliminating the distraction of what we don't want to work on right now so that we can focus on what we do. Okay, so a tickler system can do that. A category system can do that. For example, calls that you need to make. If those are in a file or in a group and you make those calls at one time or multiple times during the day as opposed to all throughout the day, that's more efficient. Okay? On average, when we make a call out, it's a 7-minute call. When we take a call in, it's a 12-minute call. Do you know why?
Mm-hmm. It should be in the outcome.
Right. So theoretically, you've got your agenda. You know why you're making that outgoing call. You have more control. When you take a call in, think about how much time you may need to take to allow someone else to get to their point or figure out what their agenda is. So again, when we can group our activities, let our voicemail work for us for a little while, and then return those calls, we then listen to the message and we're in control of that call. And 5 minutes may not seem like a lot, but that's per phone call. So think about how that adds up in your day. So again, some sort of system to deal with the action you need to take during the day can be helpful, whether it's the tickler system or category system. I mentioned before having some place for your paper to come in. Think about, do you have a system for handling those incoming items? Do you have a system for what you do when you get the mail in each day? Okay. That's a simple one. You could start there too. So the mail comes in, and I would go immediately to a spot where I had a trash can and a recycle and a shredder. Having those things all in your office is helpful. And I would eliminate the clutter, right? The junk mail, the things that you don't need or want. And then you're going to be left with things that you need to act on, things that you need to file for reference, maybe things that need to go into somebody else's hands that you're going to delegate, okay? Or things that you can do right away and be done with. So think about, what will your system be for bringing in the mail? And if you're bringing in the mail and then leaving right away, again, having a tray or a bin for that to go until you have time to process it. Not work out of it, but process it is a system. Okay, what do I mean by process what's in your inbox as opposed to work out of what's in your inbox? Any ideas?
To handle each each piece of paper that comes in and mm-hmm. do something, either file it, shred it, or
right.
whatever.
Right. Ideally, we want to empty that inbox every day and not work out of it. So having time to process what's in your inbox doesn't mean that you're going to do everything that's in there, but you're going to make a decision about everything that's in there. And then again, the things that you need to do something about, but not right now, you're going to defer that. That's what could go in the tickler file. When are you going to do it? Or what is it that you need to do? Again, either by category or by date. Okay. Does that make sense? Okay, great. Besides action filing or action system, we need to have a reference filing system. That's where we're going to keep that, but I might need it someday paper if we're really convinced we need it. If we think it's going to be in that 10 to 20% of things we're really going to need. So having an effective reference filing system is important as well. And setting up a reference filing system, I want you to think about what are the categories in your business and start with the broad categories. So for example, in my business, we have a residential division where we help people organize in their homes. And we have a business division where we work with individuals and business and with companies. So those might be my two big categories, residential and business. I might have two drawers, one for residential and one for business. And then within those drawers, I might have subcategories on clients, on accounts payable and receivable, on staff that I have that help those clients. So think about what are your big categories, what are your subcategories, and go down from there. When you're naming files for your filing system, think about using a noun first and then an adjective. So most of us have our filing system alphabetical, right? Helps us file and find things. If I have files that are named business clients, residential clients, prospective clients, archived clients, and I keep those alphabetical, they're going to be all over in my A through Z system, right? If instead I put the noun first, clients, comma, prospective, clients, comma, residential, clients, comma, business, clients, comma, archived, they're all under C for clients. Okay, insurance is another example. If you have health insurance and home insurance and dental insurance and life insurance, and you file that alphabetically, it could be all over the place. But instead, insurance, comma, home, insurance, comma, health, insurance, comma, life. So that's an example of a naming convention for your filing system. Okay. Think about what you're going to call something or what you're going to look for 6 months from now instead of what you're going to call it today. Okay, so I teach a class called the GO system. It stands for Getting Organized. If someone comes to that class and they take notes and they file it under GO system, but they can't remember 6 months from now what the name of the class was, if instead they just filed it under organization, if that's what they would think of or look for, that would make more sense. Okay, so any questions about action filing system or reference filing system or the importance of having a system? Okay, well, let's move on. So we've talked about organizing your space, organizing your schedule. Okay, some time management is another step we can take to increase our productivity. Time management, think about planning, prioritizing, and then producing. A lot of people just start producing. They just start doing. And by taking time to plan and to prioritize, then you can make sure you're producing the right things and spending time on the right activities for your business, things that will take your business forward. If we all took 15 minutes at the end of the day to plan for tomorrow, we'd come in ready to hit the ground running. We would have the things with us that we needed. When I stopped my day yesterday, my planning for today was to look at my calendar, see where I was going, when, to pack my bag to make sure I had the things that I needed with me, because I was leaving early, and to think about what the rest of the day looked like. What tasks did I hope to accomplish, and what did I need to get done? Who did I need to get back to? So that was all part of last night. So this morning, I didn't have to think too much about where I was going first and what did I need to have with me. It was already ready to go. Okay. And I know what the rest of my day looks like, and I know probably the top three things I need to do today, and that I'll feel great if I get done. Okay. So planning in the evening to help you get the next day going is really helpful. And again, that entails looking at your calendar, a task list, whatever you use to keep yourself organized on what you hope to accomplish. Looking if you're keeping a tickler system, looking in what paper do you have in the next day, prioritizing that. Okay. If you are thinking about large goals, the planning step is really to take a large goal and to break it down into small pieces. Okay. It's helpful to have a master list of the goals you want to accomplish, and you can add to that at any time. But some people will stop there, and they'll have that large goal, and then they'll just cross their fingers and hope that they'll get it done, right? But you'll want to take it to the next step and to break that down. And have you heard the acronym SMART, S-M-A-R-T, for goals? It can be used for projects as well. Goals that are SMART are more successful. S stands for specific. M stands for measurable. A and R are attainable and realistic for you, not for somebody else. And T is time sensitive. Give it a deadline. So if I have a goal this year of increasing my revenue, well, that's all well and good, and I can cross my fingers and hope that that happens. But if instead I write a SMART goal and I say I'd like to increase revenue by 10% by June 1st, by contacting 10 new businesses and conducting 10 new training workshops. Okay, that's more specific. It's more measurable. I'll know if I did it or I didn't, or I'll know when I'm halfway, right? I can measure my success along the way. It's attainable and realistic, and only I can decide that. And it's time sensitive, I said by June 1st. Okay, so that might prompt me to action. The other thing I can do to help increase my chance of success is I can tell someone else about it. So share your goals or share your plans with somebody else. Okay? An accountability partner, anybody have one in the room? No? That is a fantastic, no-cost tool to increase your productivity, is have an accountability partner, somebody that you're going to share your goals and your plans with, and you're going to listen to theirs and encourage each other along the way, problem solve together if you're stuck, and check in with. Okay, so that's planning. Prioritizing is the second step, and it's about deciding, again, what are the priorities for the day, the week, the month, the year, whatever time period you're looking at. We'll talk about just a day. What activity can you focus on that is proactive and will take your business forward? And then carve out time for that. A lot of times we get busy, and we're busy being busy, but we're not necessarily productive. Do you know what I mean by that? In fact, a lot of us wear busy like a badge of honor. You know, when you talk to somebody or you see them, you haven't seen them for a while, how are you? Oh, good, I'm busy. I'm so busy. And that's fine. And it is good to be busy, and it keeps us young and keeps us active. But we want to be busy doing the right things for our business. So we need to think about what are those priorities. And what if when you did your planning in the evening before, you decided on the three things that you really wanted to accomplish the next day? Not a list of 20, not a to-do list of 20, but what are the top three things that will make an impact on your business if you finish them the next day? And then guess what I want you to do first thing in the morning? Do I want you to get on email and start checking your email? No, I want you to pick the most important thing and start on that, and try to finish that before checking email. Okay. Again, a lot of times what happens is we do get on email, or we start to pick up the phone and hear voicemails, or pick up the phone as it's ringing, And we could continue doing, I could spend all day on email if I wanted to. But what's happening if I do that is I'm reacting. I'm reacting to other people's needs, requests, information. I'm not being proactive about what I think I need to do to take my business forward. Okay, so by prioritizing and then by doing a high priority activity and focusing on that first thing in the morning, I'm going to be off to a great start. And I won't get into that reactive rut. Okay. All right, producing. Let's talk about focusing. Again, I was having a conversation with somebody just before this on the value of focusing and focusing on one thing at a time. We're better able to do that when we have a relatively clear desk space and we can have the project, the client file, the information in front of us that we want at that time. What's your definition of focus? What does that mean to you?
Having one file open at a time,
okay.
And finishing it,
okay. So my definition of focus is doing something and thinking about what I'm doing at the same time. Okay. What do most people do these days in our fast-paced world? Yep, that is the opposite of focusing, is multitasking. And again, there are many people who think that that's a positive trait, the ability to multitask. But in the research that I've done and what I've read is we really can't multitask two things that need thinking. Okay? We're switch tasking when we're doing that. We're asking our brain to switch from one thing to another and back and forth, and we lose time that way. So if you've ever been on the phone and maybe you're on a conference call and you're only needing to listen, and so you're also doing email at the same time, you're not going to get what you need out of that conference call, and it might be more effective to question, do I really need to be on this conference call? And if I do, then I'm going to focus on that, and I'm going to get out of what I need to, and I'll contribute what I need to if I'm a participant. If not, I should hang up that call, and I should focus on the email, because I'm not doing either one very well at the time I'm trying to do both. Okay, so think about the temptation to multitask and really the benefit to focus and how doing one thing and then the other is more time efficient. It's also easier on your brain. Okay, when we multitask, we decrease our ability to remember things. We're affecting our memory and to learn new things. So I think that's interesting as well. Okay, so focus on one thing at a time, and that's, again, easier when we have a relatively clear workspace. We've got things that we don't need to be looking at right now put away, and we can have just what we're working on out. Okay, so that's part of producing. And we've talked about tackling the hardest thing first. Again, you need to think about when you're freshest in your day. And for many people, that's morning, maybe after a cup of coffee. For some, it might be afternoon or evening, but think about when you're at your peak, at your best energy, when you're feeling the best, and that's really when you should be doing your most important tasks. Okay, so that could be different for all of us, but for many, the morning is a good time to do that. It tends to be quieter. We have slept, hopefully, well, and are fresher to think and be strategic and start to be proactive. Minimizing interruptions where possible. We're interrupted by many things during the day. Sometimes it's by other people, sometimes it's by phone calls, sometimes it's by email. Do you or do you know anyone who gets a notification of a new email as it comes in, either visually or audibly? Some people do. They have a little transparent notification that, oh, there's a new email. For some people, they have a ding or an audible notification that there's a new email. That's an interruption, okay? Unless you're focusing on email at that time. You can turn that off. You can ask it not to do that. Okay? If you're using Outlook, there's a simple way, and I can talk to you about it afterwards. The emails will still come. You just won't get that little distracting flash that, ooh, new email. Okay. There is also a way, if you choose to, in Outlook in particular, to widen your send and receive sweep. So your emails come in, to your internet service provider, your server. Thank you. And some people have them then dump automatically into Outlook or into whatever program they're using to receive their emails. But you can also say, you know what, I'd like them to dump in every half hour or once an hour instead of, again, as they come. So if you're trying to focus on something else, think about eliminating a distraction of the email interruption. And how many of you are in an office space where you're sharing the space with someone else, even if it's a spouse, child, or okay, or coworkers? So people interruptions, when somebody comes to you and you're focused on something else, I want you to think about handling that interruption in this way. You're in the midst of something, maybe it's your highest priority of the day, and let's say Debbie comes into my office space or my workspace, and she's standing there, then I can say, hi Debbie, and she can let me know what she needs. And either what she needs is more important than what I'm working on, in which case I'll put this aside and I'll focus on Debbie, or what I'm working on is more important than what she needs. It's not always that black and white, I recognize that. But if we can think about like a computer and kind of making that binary decision, the either or, if we can answer that, if what I'm working on is more important at that time than what Debbie needs, then I can let her know. Debbie, I'm on a deadline right now and I'll finish this by noon. Can we talk at 2 today instead of right now? Reasonable. If what she needs is more important again, then I'll focus on what she needs. So that's a way to handle people interruptions. And then phone interruptions, let your voicemail work for you. Okay. All of us are in customer service in some capacity. I mean, any job you're in, you have customers, whether they're internal or external. And people do expect that you'll get back to them in a timely manner. Some of our clients can be more demanding than others and expect that you'll be always available to them. But if you think about it from their perspective, they also expect that you'll get your important work done because that benefits them too. So strike a balance between being available and responsive and getting your other things done. And trust that that's what they want as well. Does that make sense? Okay, great. All right, maximizing the effectiveness of meetings. I'm just going to touch briefly on that as, a tool to manage your time. Meet if there's a reason to meet. Otherwise, consider would a phone call or an email take care of the issue or forward the discussion. Okay? When you meet, use an agenda and follow the agenda. And when issues come up that are not a part of the agenda, utilize some sort of method for capturing them and parking them. So, a whiteboard or a note taker who will make note of things that are off track and that you'll get back to later. And then the last thing I'll say about meetings is when decisions are made in meetings and when ideas come up, sometimes they're lost, and so the productivity of the meeting is lost when no one takes ownership or accountability for moving them forward. So make sure everyone's clear on who's responsible for the new idea, for pursuing the research, for acting on a decision. And that's going to maximize the effectiveness of that meeting. Okay? Okay. I mentioned before, and I'm going to go into the third segment now, on maintaining the organization. Some of these things we've talked about, having systems in place, spending time regularly on maintenance is going to help, again, you stay organized. So knowing that having an effective filing system is useful, is great. Never using it, never putting paper into it, not so great. So think again about how you can take time, whether it's every day, you're gonna file for 5 minutes at the end of the day, or is it once a week, you're gonna take 30 minutes to get paper put away in the filing system, and until then you're gonna put it in a to file pile or file. But doing that on a regular basis, updating your filing system on a regular basis, and when you're in there anyway filing something, if there's something that should come out, take it out, toss it. Could be every 6 months, you have a clean out your file day. Or once a quarter, if you have four filing drawers, maybe you tackle a drawer once a quarter. I'm going to do this one in March, I'm going to do this one in June, I'll do this one in September, and I'll do the bottom one in December. And then it's not so overwhelming, because we're just taking a part of it. Okay, but keeping up with your paperwork and your filing, unless you can delegate that to somebody else, which is also a fantastic idea if you have the resource, needs to be done on a regular basis. So does entering things into the computer. And if you're going to networking events and you talk to some people and you get business cards, okay, what do you do with those afterwards? Right? And so sometimes we end up with a stack of business cards. But if our intention really is to follow up with those people, maybe we have a file that says to enter. And again, once a week, we take some time around that. You can also think about not hard scheduling, meaning not having an appointment back to back to back to back to back during your day and leaving some transition time in between. That's when things tend to get organized, is when we get so busy and we get moving that we put things here for now, and I'll put these business cards here for now because I don't have time to deal with it right now. Okay? If you know you have a networking event and you anticipate you're going to make some great contacts and you're going to want to do some follow-up with those people, what about blocking out on your calendar instead of 7:30 to 9, 7:30 to 10? And taking that extra half hour when you're back in your office to make some entries into the computer, to make some notes about how you're going to follow up with people, to put some notes or business cards in your follow-up system. It's an idea. So again, it can happen throughout the week or in one chunk during the week or after an event. But I think leaving yourself transition time and building in time to stay on top of the organization is important. I mentioned delegation. If you have a resource to delegate to, and that might not be a paid assistant, we don't all have that luxury, but it could be a coworker, it could be a child, if we're talking about some home things. Think about what are things that other people can do for you to free up your time to do the things that only you could do. Because there's some things in your job or in your life that only you can do and that you do best. And then there's lots of other stuff that someone else could do for you. And then get creative about how that can happen. A coworker, when I say delegate to a coworker, I don't mean just offload your work onto somebody else's, but let's say you've got somebody who is much better at a task than you are. There may be a task you're much better at than they are, and you can swap tasks and help each other out. Okay, it's a form of delegation to get something off your plate that they're going to do faster anyway, so that's more time efficient. And you're going to take something on that's going to take you less time to do than the task you just offloaded. Okay, so that's another form of delegation, trading. Okay, we need to get creative sometimes if we don't have, a paid assistant. I'm going to close with letting you know that organizing is a process, it's not an event. Okay. And what I mean by that is that we need to think about how we're organized as our life and our business change, as we go through time periods of being busier than others. And how do we adjust our systems, and what can we do to stay on top of the organization to go along with where we are at that point? Okay, so organizing, again, it's a process, not an event. It's not just something that you do and then you're done with. And that's why we talk about some of these habits and some of the maintenance issues.